Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jonathan Starr is here. Jonathan is a new friend, managing director, headmaster, and founder. That means he puts the first money in of the Abarsa School of Science and Technology, a nonprofit educational organization in Somaliland, which also is sometimes known as Somali. And he's our new friend, and he's here with maybe several stories. Jonathan Starr, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Okay, so you came up in the financial industry, didn't you?
That's correct.
You made living and whatever money you had to invest in this school, the Abarsa School. Am I saying that right?
That's correct, Abarsa.
In the Abarsa School. You earned it in the financial industry. Give us about a 45-second tour of your career in the financial industry.
Sure. I came up originally was in Fidelity's investment grade bond group, and then got a couple of different jobs I worked for various private investment funds, also
yeah.
known as hedge funds. And before, when I was 27, I launched Flag Street Capital, which was a value investing fund that I based in Cambridge, Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're correct, I then shut down Flag Street and had made some personal wealth, so I had some flexibility, and you know, you look and you say, when else in your life can you maybe decide to do something seemingly nuts, like go across the world to the world's number one failed country
right.
and try to do something on the ground.
What was your connection to Somali? What was your connection to a school?
Yeah, actually,
Your connection to nonprofits, Jonathan? You know, this is what were you thinking on so many levels, Jonathan?
Yeah, well, it seems like this could be my single best chance to make a real contribution. I mean, you just don't have that many times in your life when you
altruism say, was just popping out of your body all over the place, wasn't it?
You know, I really hate to say it that way. And the reason, it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's ever
I didn't mean, I meant altruism in a good way, not in a sarcastic way.
Sure. No, but really, Jim, there was certainly an aspect of that. There also is an aspect, I mean, I can't deny, there's an ambition aspect also. You want to do something special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not, there are various ways to do something special, and not everything. I feel like actually one of the issues of why international aid has gone so poorly over the years is because we have this idea that the right people to do it are kind of this hippie tree hugger. I don't know. I mean, that's it. And
yeah.
really, who you want to send in is much more like you know, one of these intense NBA or college basketball coaches are screaming at people.
Yeah,
right?
You want a bean counter, right, exactly.
Yeah, and that, well, you need a leader.
Yeah.
You need somebody who's intense. You need,
mm-hmm.
this stuff's hard. I mean,
yeah,
I
can
this
imagine.
Stuff's hard. I had, in my time there, I had jihad declared against me.
Wow.
I had, you know, really, we had threats. We had attempted uprisings. I mean,
right.
we had to go through a lot.
So,
I mean, now we're on the other side of it.
I want you to come back, though, before we get that far down the road, I want you to come back and tell us, why Somali?
Yeah, so actually, it was just
what
a
was
place
your connection
I had
to Somali?
A connection to. My uncle went to a school the British had set up there. My uncle is Somali. He went to a school the British had set
okay.
up. Came to the U.S. on a scholarship in 1961.
Your uncle by marriage?
My uncle by marriage, exactly.
Yes.
Met my aunt at Boston University. Through him, I was connected. I mean, I had.
So you had you had a
knew.
You had some kind of a if you had to go to Africa, he could give you a place to go.
Yeah, I think I.
But
I mean,
did you know anything about Somali before that?
Only what I'd researched.
Yeah, really, but I mean, it could have been if he'd been in Swaziland, you would have gone to Swaziland.
Correct. Okay. That is correct.
All right, sorry. All right, now then, why a school?
You know, it's one of these things that it's I haven't studied education, but I certainly went to a lot of schools and did well in my life, and it's something where I think a lot of people can have a pretty good idea about, even having never officially mm-hmm. gone to school for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I also felt like this is a way to develop the future leaders of the area. So
mm-hmm.
if you can really put a great school in place where you teach ethics and you teach
But did you believe yeah. that the world needed more schools, or did you find out that Somali needed more schools, or did you have a desire to be a schoolmaster in your life? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, I mean, the place, the education system is got broken with the rest
right.
of the country after
right.
the Civil War.
Right.
They need everything, right? So you can say, do they need schools? Yes. Do they need hospitals? Yes. Do they need business
mm-hmm.
people? Yes. They need everything. But what we're providing here, it's a longer-term solution.
Right.
But what we're providing is we're training students so that when they come back, they can be these things. I mean,
right.
we now have students
mm-hmm.
who are studying at MIT, at Harvard,
right.
at Amherst, at Carnegie Mellon, at Georgetown. I mean,
when did you found the school?
It was 2009. We had the first class we took in ninth grade, just the ninth grade that year.
Right.
So our first class didn't graduate until a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did, they just... Their record
how,
of
how many kids
was just off
how many,
the chart.
How many kids graduated?
The first class was really 30.
How many started in the ninth grade?
50. We needed to set a standard. The first 2 years, we lost 40% of the classes.
Wow.
And that was just us setting a standard. But here, Jim, what's really interesting is no one leaves anymore.
Right. Wow.
Everyone, and we're much harder now
right.
than we were then.
Is your capacity increased?
We've expanded so that we can now start in seventh grade.
Yeah.
But we're still not looking to be,
mm-hmm.
there are only so many schools you can have, and we're educating kids to a level that the local university system cannot handle them.
Right.
They're too strong.
And
so,
and is this starting
they need
to have,
scholarships.
Yeah. Okay. So, give us the website. Can people go there and donate money?
Absolutely. And we
right.
love
give
to
us a, give us the website.
It's, www.abarso is ABAARSO school, SCHOOL.
We know how to do that.
ORG.
.org. Okay, abarsoschool.org. Folks, check it out. And I got more questions for Jonathan Starr after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Wheels on fire, and I tell you why. I got a high ride.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.